They're all familiar carols play.
But that same power, the same accomplishment that it was to be for back then, over 2,000 years, is the accomplishments that it serves for us today. And for any one of us, the sinners that are still out there, for the lost, you know, we may call them the sinners, but we can call them the lost. How many in here at one time you were lost? Well, at one time I was lost. What's that? Tell me. At one time I was a sinner, saved by grace. And it's not to say that even in today that I don't have a hiccup here and a sidestep here that I need to go back to ask for forgiveness and say, oh, Father God, forgive me of that sin. Forgive me of that thought. Forgive me of not doing what you've asked me to do. Because each and every one of those things is a sin. To know to do good and not do it is sin. And so we go through this life until we are called home, kind of going through it gingerly. You just never know what lies ahead, and somehow, and sometimes how the enemy will try to trip you up. And he may succeed for a season, he may succeed for a day, whatever the case is. But whatever it is, it's this, guys. That story of the birth of Jesus for salvation and forgiveness of our sins and reconciling us back to God, your salvation is there. But it's through this life that we do those sidesteps that we can come back and say, Lord, forgive me. I repent of my sin. Set my feet back on your path. I'm ready to go again. And he says, here we are. Welcome. Been waiting for you, brother. Been waiting for you, my son, my daughter. You know, I should say my son and my daughter. But anyway, the Christmas story. And we've gone through the whole process of these candles of faith or hope and joy and peace. And today the middle candle, that of the white candle, that of the Advent season, is that of the Christ candle, is what they would call it. White, as we know, is for purity. And we know that Jesus came, that knew no sin, that he could take our sin. He became sin for us, a perfect specimen of mankind, God incarnated in that of flesh of Jesus, the Son of God. And so, with no sin, he took ours, bore our sins. So we come to this, it's Christmas Eve. There's a lot of things going on, right? Anybody still doing shopping? Praise God. Anybody got one more Amazon package coming? Those guys have been busy. We know we've got things to do, things to prepare. I know, Paul and Karen, you got family today for Christmas. We had our family yesterday for Christmas, and we got other ones for families today, and tomorrow there'll be celebrations. And this is a very busy time, isn't it? And sometimes to be able to just find some solace and quietness during that time means a lot. This season that we're in, it's a hustle and bustle and kind of keep you going, even if you don't have kids or grandkids and all of that. And it's the time of trying to figure out, well, how can I keep a time carved out for God? For the true meaning of what this is all about. Because it's more than just, now, Amazon and UPS and orders and specials and, you know, whatever the case might be. And I pray that we can keep that sensing of what it is. It is an honor to stand before anybody at any time on a Sunday to bring God's word to the people that come to hear it, because it's quite a blessed and just a humbling privilege. And thank you, Gabriel. That's okay. Things like that don't bother me. I know people go, ooh. But it's an honor to share the message of what God has for all of us. It's a privilege when you get to share that with those around you, just the Christmas story in maybe a different version in July or April or March or whatever the case is, when somebody is asking you about your faith and your salvation and what that all means. You share that Christmas story all the time, don't we? That's why sometimes in a lot of churches, hopefully we're celebrating the birth of Christ, the death of Christ, and the resurrection of Christ every day of our life. Every Sunday service we come, you know, remembering what the birth was, remembering what the crucifixion was, remembering that the tomb is empty, remembering that the Holy Spirit has come. All of this together every day, we find that as a joyful time in our life. That's why as a child of God, we should have the joy of the Lord as our strength. Amen. Going through hard times, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Going through sad times, the joy of the Lord is our strength. The love, compassion, strength. Amen. So we find this, it's the birth of the babe, whose name was to be called Jesus. The Greek translation, Yeshua. The meaning of that, he shall save. That's what it was all about. I've told this many times, you know, people come and they think, oh, he's come to give me this and to take care of that and to give me a good home and a good job and to give me good health. No, he came to save you. He came to give you an understanding of when your last breath is breathed, where will you spend eternity, hell or heaven? He came to reconcile us back to God the Father because God so loved you and me and us. And to today, he still loves those that are lost in the world, lost, the sinners that are lost, that he loves them with the same love he loved you. And he's made a way for them like he's made for you. Isn't that great? It's just awesome that the power and the existence of that still goes and perpetuates perpetually down the road until his coming back. And he said he's what? Coming back for a bride, a spotless bride, the church. He's coming back. So we got to keep ourselves in tune. We got to keep ourselves ready to go. We got to keep ourselves spotless. What does that mean? Ask for forgiveness. Walk in that of cleansing blood of Jesus Christ and do the best you can to move your life from what it was in the world to that of what the kingdom of God's life should be for all of us. And desire to say, Lord, I'm not perfect, but I'm getting closer. Lord, I'm not done yet with getting the impurities out of me, but I am getting better than what I was. Little by little, the filter, we shared that one time about the filter of water and different things we filter. The filter, God's filter, the Word of God, the Bible, is a filter for us to help our lives clean out the gunk of what this world is all about. This world is full of gunk. This is the WD-40. WD-40 will do everything and anything. I don't know. That's an amazing discovery, right? WD-40. This Word of God will do miraculous things for all of us. But it only works like that of WD-40 is when we spray it. This will only work if you open it up and read it. It'll only work if you take it in and digest it like manna, like that of the bread of life into your life to give you a direction, a hope, a strength, an ability to persevere through this life. I see a lot of people out there, so do you, that don't have this and they're going through life and it's hell. It's hard. It's not easy. My life, if I wanted to do, I could sit there and look at a lot of things, say, well, it's been hard, it's been this, but I don't want to focus on that. My life has been good. I have been blessed. When I have come through challenges and when I've had situations come upon my doorstep of my life, my career, my job, my family, whatever, is I pray about those things. And I ask God to do something to help me. Lord, help me. Help me. Help me. I'm looking for water. Is there water up here somewhere? Help me, Dan. Help me. There he is. Throw it. Let's see. I don't have my glasses on. Woo! Wow. I thought, after I said that, I thought, wait, my glasses are over there. Woo. Thank you, sir. But just like that of God, when we cry out, help, I'm thirsty, I'm in a barren land. Just like Dan threw that water to me where I could refresh myself. When I refresh myself, I can go on now. You're saying, great, you're going to keep talking? Yes! If the water hadn't come, we'd say, okay, God bless you, go home, Merry Christmas. You're going, yes, yes, yes. But that's kind of like how that works. We get refreshed by the things of God in our lives, even as those of his children. He shall save. There's many other names that are associated with this name of Jesus. Emmanuel. Isaiah 7:14, she will give birth, Mary, she will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means, guess what? God is with you. God is with us. Isn't that great to know? We need somebody with us through this life. I'm going to tell you, if you don't know it now, I'm going to tell you this. You need God in your life if you don't have him right now. Oh, will my life be totally easier and everything easy peasy? No. No, God is so good at being truthful. Amen? Because God says, even Jesus says, even if you have me in your life, you will have trials and tribulations in this life. How many here are in this life right now? I hope so, because you're breathing, you're here. So God doesn't paint a picture that says everything will be blissful and no situations and no problems. But he says, when you have those problems, I will be with you. When you have those problems, I'm telling you, Tim, I will never leave you nor forsake you. When you have a situation, Tim, my word tells you that I am there with you always. His word says, I will go before you. I will cover your backside. I will cover around you. I will be your protection. Why wouldn't people want that? If you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and God serving in your life and you serving Him, I would ask you, what don't you get, guy or gal, to understand that you want to go through this life in a way of just misery and pain and hurt and heart and sorrow and pain and suffering and all of that? And then a lot of people are in that and they go through life like that, and then it's like, what's it all about? Well, that same birth of Jesus that came for all of us is freely there. It's a free gift, amen? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever shall believe upon Him will have eternal life and shall not perish. I don't know why people are so headstrong. Well, I do know, because the devil does a good job of hardening them and keeping them from hearing the truth and receiving it in a way, because many of us go, because I've been so bad, there is no way that I can be forgiven. Well, you're looking at that in the eyes of a man in flesh, thinking that I've done things and man around me hasn't forgiven me. My family even hasn't forgiven me. I haven't even forgiven myself. How can God forgive me if I can't forgive myself? It is not about you forgiving yourself. It's about Jesus coming to die for you, and that God loves you and God will forgive you if you repent and turn from your sins. Amen? Happy, merry, joyful Christmas. It's a message that goes around the world. And it doesn't get old as many times as we read it, as 2,000 plus years. Every time we read any scripture in God's Word, it's Word that has been there, not just since 1986 or not since 1900. It's been there from the very beginning and even before Christ. B.C. A.D., you know. Now, I'm not talking about the rock band, guys. Come on. AC/DC. I saw some of you guys starting to go, because I'd probably be right there with you. He shall save. Emmanuel, God with us, Isaiah 7:14. We find in God's Word, the Bible, where it says, for God so loved the world. I shared all about that. Why was Jesus given to us? It continues that whosoever believes. That's why He was given. In Isaiah 9:6, we're given some names here that describe Jesus. Wonderful Counselor. Wow. Anybody need a counselor? We know what counselors are for. What about a Mighty God, He's going to be called? An Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. For us a child we find is born. To us a son is given. And the government will be on His shoulders. And He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Wonderful Counselor. What is that? He is exceptional and gives the right advice. Amen? Has anybody ever had wrong advice from God? The only time it was wrong is when you didn't follow it or obey it. That's when it was wrong. And it says, Jesus will have the ability as a political guide and leader. He is the living Word, an infallible source of guidance, wisdom, and truth. Secondly, Mighty God. He is God Himself in the flesh. The God, this child is God incarnate. Human nature, nature form. John 14:9 remembers this. The verse says, He who has seen me has what? Seen the Father. The word mighty has additional meaning of hero. A lot of people are looking for their hero. I can tell you who your hero is. Sad thing about it, sometimes people may not want to hear that. But He's your hero. Everlasting Father, He's timeless. He is God our Father. Expresses Jesus' fatherly care. Everlasting, meaning He's everywhere present. Prince of Peace, His government is one of justice and peace. Jesus' reign will come to be known as Shalom. I love that word, huh, John? Shalom. Shalom comes with many meanings, and I've shared this and had years back some messages on this because it just read it. But that word encapsulates this: completeness, wholeness, health, peace, welfare, safety or soundness, tranquility, perfectness, a fullness, rest, harmony. And I like the last part of shalom: the absence of agitation or discord. Shalom be with you, my son. Shalom be with you, my daughter. I would say shalom be with you, church. Let all of those attributes know that that's who Christ is about and can bring into your life. And we need, for sure, in this day and age, to be absent of agitation or discord. Not out just in the world, but in the church setting. Amen. A Savior for unto this day in the city of David, a Savior who is the Christ the Lord. Luke 2:11. The word Savior designates a deliverer, a preserver, a benefactor, a rescuer. Oh, I got a grandson that is everything and anything superhero, especially Spider-Man and Spin or whoever those guys are, Dan, you know. He's got all of these things. I went downtown the last day or two back and down by the Five Points area on one of the road signs there in the middle between the north and southbound lane and Center Avenue. There's a comforter or a blanket wrapped around this pole. And what did my wondering eyes catch as I passed by? It was Spider-Man. I go, Will has been out in the at Five Points putting Spider-Man blankets around everything. We have our Spider-Man things like... He'll say, Papa, watch me. And he's running in his living room and he's jumping and he's... I said, that's great, Will, do this. He does that. I go, now when you do that, and then end with a kick. And he'll do it. He'll go, and he'll run and go, boom. I would love to do that, but I would fall on my face right now. I know my limits. But that is, that is God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He's the rescuer. The same word describes both God the Father and Jesus the Son. Now, quickly, we're just about done here. The other area of the Christmas story we find in Scripture speaks of another aspect of the birth of Jesus is how when the angels came to tell of Jesus' birth to the parties that were involved, each one in their own way did what the angels told them to do. Now, so here's the story or here's the thing on that. When God sends an angel, when God speaks to you to do something, obey it. Done, right? It's really not up for debate. You can try to debate God. You could try to kind of go back and forth and have a bargaining thing with him, but God's way is his way. God's way is a better way. Just give in and say, okay, God, I don't understand how you're going to do it using this vessel, but here I am. There's you. You're the vessel. What is God going to speak to you? Thank you, Lord. But you've got to do what has been told. Why is that? Luke 1:26, we would read there where Gabriel comes to Mary and speaks to Mary. And then we find in Matthew 1:18, the angel shares with Joseph regarding the birth. Busy going and sharing and giving bits and pieces of the whole thing to all the parties involved. Luke 2:8 says, the shepherds out in the fields at night, an angel speaks to them. I'm going to tell you, when an angel speaks, you better be better than E.F. Hutton. I think that's where E.F. Hutton got their thing. When E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens. When an angel of the Lord speaks, listen. Oh, man, thank you, Lord. And, you know, I just wonder sometimes with all of these modern devices, you know, and right now I've got two cell phones because of what I'm doing, but, you know, I got two of these babies. Like, I feel like, whew. And I'm back and forth trying to figure out each one. Like, is this on? Is that off? Is this on? I got to keep them on or whatever. It's because, like, oh, my. But I'm telling you, even with this modern marvel of stuff, I just wonder. If sometimes when a phone rings in service and it's of a heavenly sound, is it not possibly that of an angel saying, hey, there's our band down there. I'm going to make that phone ring. Boop. Beautiful sound when it played. Again, nothing against you. I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm just saying, sometimes I'm of that sense, of with that of God and the Spirit, that he uses some interesting things to put his stamp on things. And I've told people, God works miracles and miraculous things in this life. And it's not like God just comes out of heaven, here I am, I'm here to take care of you, Denise. No, God will work through that of others around you, flesh, people, and he will move in you to do a blessing to someone else or to speak something to this person, right, guys? And you don't even know why you're telling them something. Doesn't mean anything to me, but I feel God says this, you know? It's like, hey, didn't mean a whole lot to me other than I wanted to be obedient, because what did I just say? When an angel, when God speaks, do it. And pass that on, and that person might have been blessed beyond measure because God knew what they were asking. And they would say, how did you know to tell me that, Don? I've been questioning, and God's been speaking to me for the last 3 or 4 days. That just really solidified that in my spirit. That is how my God works. Is that how your God works? I hope so. Hopefully we have the same God, because that's how God works. And so anyway, get back to these modern marvels of cell phones. Are they modern marvels? They're a pain in... Well, we don't go there. They're modern marvels. And so when somebody's phone goes off, I just kind of like, if it's at a particular point in time in a message, it's like, interesting, God. Okay. It might have embarrassed that person. Oh, well. But to me, I look at it as... And I'm one of those type. When things kind of out of the ordinary happen, or if I see something here or there, or if I'm drawn to something more than just looking and I look away and I'm going and I look back, or if I'm gazed at it for just a split second and something in my spirit says something, I will quickly ask God, what are you trying to tell me by what I'm looking at that tree? It's a tree. And then by that of the Spirit of God, he will begin to unveil something to me. But I'm just saying how God speaks to us through that of the Spirit, through angels, through whatever it is, and even through these cell phones sometimes. But the important thing is, when the parties were spoken to about the upcoming birth of Jesus, the angels shared these things, and they did what they were told about. It's very important. We talked about Luke 2:8, the shepherds out in the field at night, angel speaks to them. What about that in Matthew 2:13? Very important. After the birth of Jesus, what did happen? An angel warns Joseph to go to Egypt. Thankfully, I'm so happy that he listens. Amen? Because who would have known what would have happened? But it was all of that of the plan of God to have this all taken care of, because it kind of shows us of today how society wants to crucify Jesus. There's people out there that don't want to even hear that name of Jesus. Tell me about God, and that's fine. You tell me about Jesus, you're getting a little way out there. Now, don't throw the Holy Spirit in that's leading and guiding and speaking to you, because you're a fruitcake, and I don't understand that, so it must be wrong. Just because you don't understand something from God does not mean that it's wrong. It just means that you have not been matured, or you have not read his word, or you have not allowed his word to come into you and to be open to what God has for you, because all good gifts come from God. Amen? All good things. If it's good, I'm going to tell you, it's not the devil. The devil does not do any one thing good except lie and counterfeit and copy. But if you're a child of God, born with the Holy Spirit in you and filled with the Spirit even more afterwards, you will know when that voice telling you to do something is not lining up with God's word, or it's a voice that you say, I just don't sense that. And you might back off a little bit and pray about it. But if it's that of God, he will confirm it, reaffirm it, whatever the case is. Listen, listen, listen. Because they warned Joseph to take the babe, take your child and flee, because death is impending upon him if they can find him. And then what happened? It got the guy so upset that he ended up not just killing Jesus, he decided to do what? Eradicate an age bracket of kids up to a certain age, all the way, anyone from a child up to this age, kill him. We're bound to get him. That's how the devil works. I'll just destroy everything. It's got to be bound. I'll find the one individual, the one entity that I want to find. I will destroy thousands of people, thousands of kids, hoping that I get this, that one. Listen when the angel of the Lord speaks. Then as we continue to see, and I read this, God, if God has in his plan, and it's his plan will come about. Even if the enemy tries to thwart his plan, tries to steer his plan away from you, if you stay and remain strong in God, and trust him, the devil will not have victory over you. If you give in to the devil, if you turn from God, the God will only say, well, I can only do one thing, turn you over to what you want to do. I'm not a God of force. I'm not a God that's going to twist your arm to stay where you're at with me. But it is very important that we heed his word and follow his directions related to his plan. In doing so, it will come about. And I hope as we come into this Christmas that you too will find this wonderful benefit of having Jesus in your life. If you've not really come into that personal relationship with Christ, I would ask you to just come before him in a very simple prayer and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I am a sinner. I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I confess him as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Father. Amen. Ooh, that's all that's necessary. Some have maybe walked away from him. Come back to him. Come home, all ye who are weary, come home. Some people have been home with him and they've left, but the doors are open for them to come back. Come back to him, and that same salvation, that same redemption, that same forgiveness is there again for you. No matter which it is, this would be a perfect time to accept him, Jesus Christ, as your Savior, or to ask him back into your life, or to just say, Lord, I just want you in a deeper, deeper measure. Just fill me more. I've got you. I've not walked away from you, but I just want more of you because I know there's more of you to have. He has more for all of us if we just continue on that path. Amen? Remember, Savior means what? A deliverer, a preserver, a benefactor, a rescuer. And that would be the greatest gift of all to receive is Jesus Christ to rescue you from the pits of hell. We've talked to different ones. I've had instances recently, some of the congregation have had instances recently with people that have come about to the end of things in their life. And life has been good up to the point to where when they tell you that, you know what, you're pretty close of checking out of this world. Nothing more that I can do. That's when people really start looking at like, wow. What has happened in my life? So it's a great gift to receive and to walk through this life with that of Jesus. Amen? Do you agree? And that's the birth of Christ. That's the Christmas Eve service as we celebrate and getting ready for his birth. Dan, would you prepare the communion, please? Well, I trust you will have a very blessed day, a blessed tomorrow. And as a child of God, it doesn't end after tomorrow. We have blessings all the time, don't we, Dawn? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we again love you and we thank you for this time and this service. We ask that you will go with us as I know you will. Lead us and guide us. Give us our strengths that we need. Give us healing in our bodies, Lord. Keep our minds, Lord, attuned to you. We bless and ask you, Lord, to be with those that have not been able to be with us today. Give them encouragement and strength, we pray. We thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, as we leave too, Lord, as a trust and understanding of your provision, we submit our tithe and our offering, Lord, to you through that of the giving of the church here, Lord. Bless the gift, bless the giver. And all these things are possible because of that of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. God bless you.